TSN 1200 presents the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Postgame Show. Coming up, a complete analysis of tonight's game, including calls, texts, and emails. But first, tonight's three stars, brought to you by Canadian Tire, Canada's Garage.
Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens Postgame Show. The Sens hump the Lightning 7-2 here at Canadian Tire Center. We'll get to the three stars in the next break, but just waiting to hear head coach DJ Smith address the media. But Bakes, it's been a long time since I've seen a lot of fans leave this building with like 6-7 minutes left to beat traffic when Ottawa had the game out of reach. It's been a while.
It's a nice feeling.
You did it again. And I only say it there. I'm only saying
it
because
it
impacted it.
I got a 50-50
chance. I always unmute you, brother.
You think I'd figured it out by now. That makes it exciting.
Up means good. Down means mute.
Eh, I won't remember.
You don't have to.
What a nice, satisfying win.
Yeah.
You know, after, if you look at the last four games, the one game they should have lost, they won, and the other three games they had a legitimate chance to win against really good teams, Colorado, Toronto, and Boston, but came up on the short end, and now you get a team that's been in the Stanley Cup 3 years in a row, has won two of them, albeit they didn't play their best game tonight. They didn't look, I don't want to say they didn't look interested, they didn't look desperate. That was not a desperate Tampa Bay team. They'll be a different team on Saturday when they play in Boston at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm still not confident into the playoffs right now with them. Just
no.
Obviously, I'd never overlook their pedigree and experience, but I don't know.
They don't have the swagger, right?
They don't have that look for sure, and I don't want to give them out, but no. They played a ton of hockey over the last 3 years.
I don't know how they've done it. But let's not take anything away from the Sens.
No, no kidding.
And you're the one that made a comment during the game, like, it was 2-0 Sens, Tampa scored, and then the Sens came back relatively quickly, made it 3-1. 3-2, and then the Sens bounced back rather quickly again and make it 4-2. So they never really felt that pressure from Tampa. Tampa had some pressure points in the game, a little bit in the first, early in the second. I thought the first 5-10 minutes they did, but I thought the Sens managed that momentum, you know, that they weren't controlling the game, but yet they were allowing Sogard to see the pucks, and they weren't giving up odd man rushes tonight, anything like that. So all in all, a good game for the Senators.
Here's DJ Smith.
Bounces. You know, we haven't scored first a ton. You know, when in a lot of games we've just been grinding and squeezing, and a couple went in for us tonight, and we played with a lot of confidence.
Play with Hedman,
I didn't get the complete details. I'm thinking it's more a little bit of cramping and things like that. So he had a root canal this morning. He had a bunch of stuff. He couldn't sleep. Didn't get to eat. So we'll see. We'll have an update in the morning.
What did you think of that pairing spot?
I thought they were jumping. They were snapping pucks. You know, we're going to need them to obviously defend, but also get up in the rush and make plays and get pucks to the net. You know, but in saying that, I think, you know, that Zub-Sanderson pair continues to work against the other team's top line. Hammer does what he does on the penalty kill, but I thought maybe our best defenseman tonight was Brännström.
Us fans and media, we were debating last couple of days, you start Sogard, you start Ferguson. Can you take us through what the actual debate was inside the group?
Well, there wasn't really much debate. Fergie hadn't skated in 2 days, you know, with what he had. He hadn't even got on the ice, so it's hard to put him right into that situation. And then Sogie's coming off what he, you know, a great display in Boston. So, you know, one guy hadn't skated. It was really a no-brainer. Yeah. You know, good for him. He's hit so many bars and he's trying. And you know what? But they earned those chances early. They tracked. They created turnovers. You know, and they earned all those opportunities.
Timeout there in the third, was that just not making a chance? Or what was the...
What's that, sorry?
The timeout in the third...
Well, the goalie came out, and we just wanted to be sure that we knew what we were doing on the face-off. And, you know what I mean, if you could communicate it, but, you know, if you give one up there, all of a sudden you're giving them life. So, you know, they're gonna play 6 minutes without the goalie. We got to be, you know, significantly organized.
All right.
Thank you.
There's head coach DJ Smith addressing the media, and we'll get into a lot of the 7-2 victory kind of thing, but I think lots of people are wondering what's going on with Chychrun, who – earlier in the game was slew-footed by Victor Hedman. Also went into the boards awkwardly in that third period. DJ said should be okay, thinks it might be a cramping thing, also mentioned that he had a root canal today, didn't eat very much, so they'll reevaluate tomorrow. But just the way he's speaking, to me, I wouldn't be too, it doesn't sound like it's too concerning.
Hockey player. Had a root canal today? Like, we didn't even know that.
They said appointment. He had an appointment. So people were joking that he was picking up some, I don't know, like whatever his diet is.
Yeah,
raw liver and all that.
Raw liver, yeah. There was a new shipment. And you get a root canal in the morning and then you go play an NHL game at night. That's doing what you can to be part of the team. I don't care what you say. That's not fun. Your mouth's like,
I've never
frozen.
Had a root canal before, as I knock on wood. But
I've had a few.
I'd imagine playing hockey same day isn't ideal.
No.
And not to mention, like, the diet thing, right? Like, he's obviously a professional athlete that monitors his diet big time and wouldn't be able to eat the same way after having a root canal on a game day.
Maybe that's where some of the cramping was coming in. So it's DJ said he wasn't sure, but he sounded like he might have. He kind of did tip us off a little bit. So if it's just cramping, it's nothing to be concerned about. So I'm not worried about it.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll do the three stars on the other side. Look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Get to your text at 12-1200 where standard messaging rates apply. You can call us, 613-750-1200. There's a bunch of people listening in. Dr. Bob was in the house today. Kevin from Bell's Corners was in the house. The ICS Jets are in the house. Lots of fanfare tonight in 113. I love it. All right, we'll take a break. The Sens pump the Tampa Bay Lightning 7-2. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show, the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on TSN 1200. Time to check out the play of the game.
The Bolts break it out. Here's Stamkos to the line. Crosses at the line, loses the puck. And back the other way. It's a 3-on-1. Batherson, DeBrincat, scores!
Meow!
On lead pass, here's DeBrincat again, busting in, puts the shoulder down, turns, fires, scores! Oh, that's two scratches on the post. For the cat!
Meow, meow! I think part of the reason we played that was the triple meow. But tell us why that was play of the game, Biggs.
We had all kinds of reasons to make that the play of the game. Plays of the game. The Sens score first, not once, but twice. DeBrincat finally gets on the board. He has been in a little bit of a scoring slump. Playing well lately, getting chances. So it was good to see him get off the snide. And, of course, we got Gord Wilson giving us the meows.
Aww.
So it was just – that's a hat trick of wonderful reasons from a Sens standpoint to have the plays of the game.
Bobby Hines, you got to isolate those meows. We're gonna go to the meows a little bit later as well. Why not, right? On a 7-2 victory night, let's go check out the three stars brought to you by your Ottawa area Canadian Tire Stores. And third star this evening – tell us why we went with Matt Sogard.
Sentimental. We're going to go with a sentimental. He deserves it after everything he's been through. He had a good game. You cannot fault him on either of the goals. Didn't make a ton of great saves in the first period, only because he didn't have to, but made the ones he needed. And I thought he was at his best in the second period, in the first 10 minutes or so, and got tested a little bit in the third. But he hung in there. He only gave up two, which is great. He gets the win. So I like it. It was a sentimental choice from our standpoint, but good to see him because he played well the other night in a loss. Team only scored one goal for him. Tonight they get seven, and he gets a nice W. First W since Seattle. Matt Sogard,
you're
the third star.
Played well in Boston, needed the win.
Yeah.
And some of the games where he let in four or five goals, I don't think he was that bad. Like, you think he had no support whatsoever in the Chicago game. The team was brutal in the Vancouver game as well. So
they weren't great in Calgary.
Yeah, Mandolese was in the net for that one.
Oh,
but still.
Like I said, don't count the Calgary game.
Don't count the Calgary game. So nice to see him get the win coming off back-to-back quality starts for Sogard. Star number two tonight, Eric Branstrom.
How about that pass he made on the goal? It was awesome. Like a perfect pass. And how about the goal? His assists started from behind the net. That's where he stepped out to the left side, made the pass. Sens go in and score. and DeBrincat. That was the second goal of the game. And his goal started behind the net. End-to-end rush.
Yeah.
Roofs it. Easy.
The
easy.
Franchise.
Easy pickings for the second star. Would have been the first, but there was somebody else that had a slightly better game.
And his assist from behind his own net up to?
Mr. DeBrincat.
The cat.
The cat. He was meowing tonight. Two goals, one assist. Good for him. Had some other chances, too. We were hoping for a hat trick. It would have been great. Doesn't get it, but he does get first star. Good for his confidence. He needs it. Like, it was only a few games ago, I remember, I don't know, whatever the last game I was here. I think it was the Colorado game at the end of the game. He was, like, banging his stick over the boards as he was leaving the ice at the end of the game. Like, because remember, that was the goalie made that amazing save.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Anyway, good for him. He gets the first star of the game. Easy. Easy stars for the most part tonight.
The kitty was purring and barking tonight with a couple of shots at the big rig,
oh,
Pat
yeah,
Maroon.
You like that, eh?
Oh,
you
yeah.
You like it. He was playing part cat, part dog. Pick your poison, Alex. Pick your poison.
A little bit of column A, column B. hardest working senator tonight, Claude Giroux.
Boy, he's so fun to watch. He's fun to watch on TV. He's even better to watch live. Like, he made a great pass, obviously, to Brassard for that assist. But he had so many chances in that first period. Odd man rushes, two-on-twos, three-on-twos, two-on-ones. And just was around the puck all night long. Love watching him play. Seeing a guy his age just lay it on the line, night in. It's like, not night in, night out. It's shift by shift, period by period. Like, game by game. Like, he's so reliable and dependable, and I thought he, again, just had a great game. When we pick our hardest worker, there's activity. We like activity, but there's also got to be productivity. We like that. That's like, gives you an edge, and he had some productivity tonight because he made his way on the score sheet,
so
like he usually does.
So to recap, the three stars, Matt Sogard, number three, number two, Eric Brännström, number one, Alex DeBrincat, and the hardest working senator is Claude Giroux. It's now time to check out the TSN 1200 Out of Town scoreboard brought to you by Santa Beer Barbecue, chicken, ribs, and hockey.
Good results for the most part so far.
I'm not even paying attention to that.
Why? Why wouldn't you?
Just let it play out because, well, they have to win an 11. They have to go on an 11 game tear here.
What are you talking about? You're like being like Lee right now.
It's just math. They have less than 1% chance here.
I know, but it's still fun. Make it fun at the end of the year. They haven't been here in 6 years.
Yeah, that's fair. I would like them to be. Don't say I'm going to be like Lee, because Lee and AJ are rooting for them to lose. They want them to lose, play well and lose.
They're 4 points behind Florida. And
Florida's here Monday.
And Pittsburgh's losing. And they're losing 1-0 to Dallas, the last I checked. And if they lose to Dallas tonight, they'll be 5 behind Pittsburgh, and they're 1 behind Washington, but they got a game in hand on them. And, yeah, they play Florida on Monday. I mean, it's unlikely, but it's...
All right, what's your for the losses, okay?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean? I'm agreeing with you. I'm with you. I want to see them finish as close to the playoffs as they can. Even if they don't get in, I'd like to see them finish 9.
Listen, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. But I'm at least going
to
enjoy.
You don't think they can go 11-0 here?
They're already
1-0.
They don't have to go 11-0.
They could probably need to go 10-0-1.
No. No. 9-2. 18 points will do it.
Let's move on. We'll get back into it.
Pittsburgh's not that good. And
I agree with that.
And Florida, if you win the two games, take care of business against Florida and Pittsburgh's. I don't know. They're not doing it for me. It's doable.
How about the Panthers? They just, when you think, okay, they're looking good, blowout loss. Blowout loss here, blowout loss there.
Yeah, what was
6-2 tonight. Well, okay, let's rip through the scores rather than arguing here.
We're not arguing.
The Flyers with a 5-4 shootout win over the Wild. Toronto, 6-2 winners over the Panthers.
Yep.
There you go. This isn't ideal. Capitals with a 6-1 win over the Blackhawks. Rangers edged the Canes 2-1. They lost 3-2 the other night. Could be a potential matchup at some point, either in the first or second round in the Metro. Bruins with a 4-2 win over the Canadiens. 4-3 the Blues over the Wings, so there's some good news for you, Bakes. Kraken Preds 1-1, 12 minutes left in the third. Stars up 1-0 on your Penguins after one period of play. Vegas Golden Knights have a 2-1 lead on the Flames through 20 minutes. Coming up in moments, it's the Sharks and Canucks from Vancouver. We want Carl to keep going. Did you see him against the Oilers the other night?
No.
He had two goals. It was Carlson versus the Oilers.
So I saw that he scored two, like, by just looking at the NHL app, but I didn't actually see the goals. Were they nice goals?
Yeah, they were nice goals, and he had two primary assists on goals that came off the board. The Sharks had three disallowed goals, and two, like, one of them, he fronted the puck in his crease. So if he's in his crease, everyone else is in front of him, right?
Has to be.
First guy up the ice. I guess second guy up the ice, because the guy that scored went like a foot offside as Carlson feathered the puck over to him. He had two primary apples come out. He should have had a four-point night.
Oh, man.
But he's rooting for 100 here.
What's he sitting at?
87 going into tonight.
So it's going to be close. It's going to be close.
And the Jets visit the Ducks. Also, that's a 10 o'clock start to the Ontario Hockey League, where the 67s with a 4-1 win over the Peterborough Petes in their final road game of the season. They have two more games left. They play tomorrow and Saturday. And to men's college hoops, March Madness. I don't got to update my page because I know this game is over. Kansas State advances with a 98-93 overtime win over Michigan State. UConn with an 88-65 win over Arkansas. Tennessee and Florida Atlantic just underway, 19-12. With 8:27 left in the first half. And then coming up, it's being moved back to 10:04. UCLA, Gonzaga, that should be a good one. And it's an important one at our Bell Media bracket.
Well, I picked the Zags to win it all in my pool, so it's very important for me, too.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, your reaction, 613-750-1200. Your text, 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. We'll hear from some Sens. Locker room audio, the Sens with a 7-2 win over the Lightning. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show, the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on TSN 1200. Let's go downstairs and check things out live from the locker room.
Welcome back to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show. The Sens with a 7-2 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. We want to hear from you. Well, we'll get to the locker room in a minute, but let's get to a lot of people have been waiting patiently on the phone lines. And up first is Murfrog. Murfrog, how you feeling after a 7-2 win over a team that went to the Stanley Cup Final 3 years in a row?
Are we not entertained, fellas? That was a great night. I had a blast. The crowd was electric tonight. I was quite happy with that, to be honest with you. I even wore my cat jersey tonight. And you know what? Not to start a superstition here, but every time I wear a cat jersey to the game, usually he's been going off when I wear it. So I might have to ride this out for the rest of the home games for the rest of the year here. Aside from that, I hate seeing the cheating. We're getting in behind the D, trying to cheat for an odd man rush a little bit too much. Like, four or five times a game, I'm good with it. Four or five times a period, we're going to get burned. There's a few chances where it comes into a turnover tonight, and then we got lucky. Solgaard had a great game. Not going to say anything bad about that. He held that team together for the win tonight, which is great. But every time they have a chippy game, too, I find, we usually find a way to win. When we have a chippy game at home, and then quite a few scrums there after the whistle, you see everyone getting involved. Brady gets involved. Stutzle gets involved. Chikrin getting involved. But other than that, I had a great time. We controlled the pace of play tonight, and great game, and goal Sens goal. Like I said to you yesterday, creeping in the box, I think 1.2 just went to 1.6% chance. Let's go, baby.
There you go.
Thanks for the call, Murfrog. Let's keep it rolling. Up next is Coxie. Coxie was in the house today, too. Coxie, how are you feeling after tonight's win?
Oh, it was fantastic. Same little thing Murfrog just said. But just on what we talked about before the game, when I saw you guys by the canteen there, they adopted more of Boston's patience and then sprung. But they were really patient. But one thing I wanted to ask you guys is, despite, like, I thought Sogard, we talked about looking at him tonight, and I thought he was solid and square. But then secondly, the D played really well. Everyone played well. But I'm wondering, like, there was a couple times, even despite DeBrincat tonight, we still do some irresponsible things, like instead of putting it down deep, back to the point, which created some turnover. So I'm wondering what you think, Bakes, about how we break some of those habits to get in line with the Boston style of play. Because I think they were more like that, but there's still some, you know, offense first and bringing it back or putting it into the slot irresponsibly, Spezza pass by style. So great win tonight. I still think we have a chance to make it. And see you guys at the rink next time.
Thanks for the call, Coxie. I know Coxie was here, so he probably didn't hear this.
I saw him before the game.
But he probably didn't hear your assessment of the first Tampa goal. Just speaking of his comments there on not getting pucks deep and being on the right side of the puck, describe what you saw when they made it 2-1.
Well, just Batherson, who I thought had a good game, minus this one mistake. I don't want to be disparaging here, because, but he is... You know, his minuses speak for themselves. Where he is in the league, you know, he was tied for worst minus in the league with Kyrou from St. Louis starting today. And on that first goal, Tampa goal, Stutzla got kind of careened off by Kucherov, and Batherson was coming in underneath him. And instead of stopping and, you know, being on the right side of the puck from a defensive standpoint, just drifted by. And Tampa ends up getting the puck. They go in. It's a little bit of a 3-on-2. It's Kucherov, Point, and Stamkos. Like, you can't take that chance at all. So there are instances, but I thought Batherson had a really good game. I've really liked his play lately.
Yeah.
But those are,
and
like,
he mentioned that he's finally feeling better. He was told it would take about a year to really feel 100% after the high ankle.
I broke my fib. And had a spiral fracture my senior year of college, right at Christmas, like December 29, and tore ligaments in my ankle. And it took me over a year, till it felt better. Over a year. So I've been there. And it's a factor. Like, it just plays on you. So he's been skating well. He's been playing really well. He's got a lot of energy. I like it. Just, he's got to clean up some of those decisions where he's hoping that it's going to work out from an offensive standpoint and be just a tad more reliable defensively. And then there's other guys on the team that still have to do it. But I'm not here to be critical tonight, because
they won 7-2.
They won 7-2. So it's like they played a really good game across the board. I thought they did a great job of controlling the middle of the ice. And Sogard, for the most part, saw the pucks. And they did the necessary damage in the offensive zone. So all in all, a great game. Batherson had a great game tonight. Made one mistake against the wrong guys at the wrong time, and it ended up being the back of the net. But it wasn't a factor in the outcome, because the Sens bounced back right away and was that Tampa's first goal?
It was 2-1.
So it was 2-1, and Sens came right back shortly thereafter and made it 3-1.
All right, one more phone call before we hear from some locker room audio. Dr. Bob was in the house. Dr.
Yep,
Bob's always in the house. How are you feeling tonight, Dr. Bob?
Hey, Graham and Jamie. I'm feeling a lot better than I was after Tuesday. I was in Boston on Tuesday, and I've splurged and got a seat about 7 rows up from ice level, and I saw just how dejected the team was after the loss, and I think I felt every bit as dejected. But let's get back to it. You know, after Monday, I said to AJ and CJ that we needed to get 6 out of the next 8 points, and we had to beat Florida on Monday. And so we've got 2 towards those 6. I think it may still come. I love Branny's game today, and the Bobby Orr rush was the key for the fourth goal. That was
the Bobby Orr rush.
Yeah, he went all end to end and popped it in the net. And so I had several shout-outs that I didn't do on after the Boston game. There was a mic right behind me. It was as leather-lunged as I was, and we fought each other's other down, and then we fist-bumped at the end of the game. Ran into Todd, who was a Sens scout, and another Mike, who was a Sens fan but lived in Boston, the poor fellow. Tonight, shout-outs to Dean, George, Kyle, Malcolm, and then Bob from Stats Canada, Kevin, and Greg and Beth up in the 300s where I was sitting. I think we still have a chance, just like Murfrog was saying. And Murfrog, keep wearing your cat's sweater. Go, Sens, go.
Thanks, Dr. Bob.
Yep, thanks, Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob mentioned that he really liked Brandstrom's game. So did we. He was our second star. And
So did DJ.
So did DJ, most importantly. Here is the franchise in conversation with the media.
Just a thought on what it does for the group, confidence-wise, to have such a definitive win over a legitimate Stanley Cup contender.
That was great for us. A lot of good efforts from a lot of guys tonight, so just got to keep this thing going and keep going with the push here.
How does it feel for you offensively to contribute not only with the assist on the Brinkett goal, but that almost end-to-end rush there?
I mean, it's fun. Want to play offensive hockey and be a contribute out there, so it was nice to see it go in, and it was a nice win for the team today, so it was a very good night.
Looked like Amanek was almost like pointing at you, like, there's room. Was he kind of the catalyst?
He wanted me to pass it to him. No.
Oh, really?
No, I was kidding. He said I had a lot of room and just gave it, so it's a good call. And nice to see it go in.
Is the ice from long shots?
Yeah. So hurts
both
a little
ends,
bit.
Both ends for you tonight?
Yeah, exactly. No, not as bad.
Is this fair to say, like, is this the most comfortable you felt at the NHL level, both offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I would say so. I think I'm taking some steps up from last year, and yeah, just gotta keep going and build on that game. So I've been feeling good.
And how do you feel like right now the D pairings are kind of switching around a little bit? Chychrun with Chabot, you with Hamonic, were with Chabot the other night. How does that kind of play with you and moving around a little bit left and right side?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to play all the positions, left, right. We've got a lot of good D's, so it doesn't really matter who you play with. So it's fun that we want to have the puck a lot and make good plays, share it. So I think it's good to play with everyone.
There's the franchise, Eric Brandstrom, speaking with
good
the media.
Good for him, eh?
Yeah, like, I think
he works
I don't think
so
he's
hard.
Deserved to come out of the lineup this year. Yeah. When he does come out, he's improved. He's always been a hard worker, and he took a lot of contact, a lot of big hits. I think he's kind of gotten rid of that a lot from his game. You don't see him getting tagged as much anymore. He's become a good defender, and I'm more than comfortable with this team going with bringing these six defensemen back next year. And everyone's obviously excited about Tyler Cleven. We'll get a look at him, I'm sure, at some point. But that's another guy that's going to be competing for a spot. But I've really liked Eric Brandstrom's game, and chipping in with a beautiful assist and a great end-to-end rush. It's got randomly at the top of my Twitter timeline right now, just on a loop with NHL has tweeted his goal. And it just flew, just went. And that was a big goal because Tampa just made it 3-2.
Yep.
And he goes end-to-end shelf blocker on Brian Elliott and had himself
right
a nice
over,
game.
Right over the shoulder. You know, you see, I love stories like Brandstrom. You know, just talk about there's you know, perseverance right there. And paying his dues. He was getting beaten up in the media a little bit. You know, he didn't know if this was going to work out here. And he never lost faith in himself. Like, he kept grinding away. And he kept at it. And slowly, earned more trust with the coaching staff. And here he is, you know, being a reliable player out there, getting some good ice time, getting some PK time. And, you know, you talk about where the defensive core is now, you just compare it to where it was at the start of the year. There were question marks at the start of the year. And now you're like looking at, geez, who's going to sit out? Like, it's really, really competitive. So again, this is a coach's dream to have a situation where you might have to sit out a guy that's playing really well. Well, that's the type of competition you want within your lineup. That's what great teams do.
All right, let's start getting to some text here. There's some good ones coming in. I want to start with Dan, who's texted in twice on this topic. And Dan says, all right, love the broadcast as always, loved everyone involved, but down with the meows. At least give the guy a large cat call. I'm thinking Anchorman, Sex Panther type cat call, you know? Give the guy some dignity. It comes in from Dan, who had texted earlier, I hate the meows. I love it. Maybe it's just because I love Gord, and I love how much fun
they
he has
funny
on the broadcast. And
they are funny.
I laugh every
funny
time I hear it. But yeah,
meow, meow, meow.
Good job, Cam. Well, Dan's not happy about that.
Sorry, Dan. Take that up with Gord. But Gord does, it is a stellar meow.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, it's from deep down in his lungs. Like, he's into it.
What else we got here? Text 12-1200, standard messaging rates apply. The Prince is in. We are winning out. We're making the playoffs. Sends her back. Let's take it to the Devils Saturday. One game at a time, baby, from Prince.
Just take it one day, one game at a time. That's all you got to
do. Just like
do
Sister
right
Jean.
Yep.
Can only take it one game at a time. Caleb says, Brandy took the Clevin signing personally. He's not getting scratched.
Nice.
Shane from Van. That's the way, baby. Can we get the meow meow? Love the feistiness. Hey, it's a long shot, but you never know. I'll still hold out hope for the playoffs. We've played well in the last couple of games. Hopefully we can keep it going. Thanks for the show, Shane from Van. And Bobby Hines, he wants to hear the meow meow again.
Meow, meow, meow.
You know, like, hilarious. Let's just have some meaningful games down the stretch. Like,
yes.
If they get in, obviously that would be amazing. It's going to be really difficult because they got to pass two teams. However, like, tonight's a good win. Now the team's got some confidence. Just go in and try and beat New Jersey. New Jersey's going to be in the playoffs. They're making it. They're trying to get ready for the playoffs. They're still fighting for a position. I'm not sure where. I'd have to look. You know, they are trying to chase down Carolina. They're also trying to stay ahead of the Rangers. So it's going to be a great test on Saturday for the Sens. Go win another hockey game. Just see what happens. But play important games, like games that actually matter here down the stretch, would be fantastic.
A couple more texts before we take a break, yep. And we'll start hearing more live from the locker room. Flat Top Greg, hey, boys, great crowd tonight. Good to see DeBrincat finally show up. Where was that all year? Can't believe what I just saw from Hedman. Totally classless. Thought he was a better player than that. Really hope Tampa Bay can get back on track before the playoffs so our rivals down the 401 can keep that first-round streak alive. From Flat Top Greg, I'll say I don't think one play defines a player. I'm a huge fan of Victor Hedman. I think that was a dirty play. I think once he watches that, he'd probably agree with that as well.
I don't think it was intentional, but it wasn't a clean play.
Yeah, it wasn't like your classic slew foot where you're grabbing the guy and
right.
Like you know what you're doing. Like he was rushing out to the point to take the play away and ended up catching him, tripping him with his
leg.
Here's
a better question. What was Hedman doing way up there on the penalty kill?
Yeah.
That's a question I want to know. That's a full, you want a full rotation? That's a full rotation from a pressure standpoint.
Yeah, no kidding. And what was, to Flat Top Greg's point, getting Tampa back on a roll so they can beat the Leafs. If you were to pick right now.
Toronto?
Toronto
in six.
I'm leaning that way as well, too. Tampa just looks beatable. And we said this earlier. This isn't because of what happened tonight.
No.
It just, a lot of hockey they played.
They might have another gear. Just watch out.
And maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe.
Like, I want to see what they do against Boston on Saturday. You know, like, can they. We talked about it already in between periods. Like, I don't want to say that they're not interested. But they've played so many meaningful games over the last few years, like in the playoff runs and that, they're patiently waiting for that to happen. And can they just turn it on? Like, there has to be a little bit of like, oh, here we go again, over the course of the marathon of a regular season. It has to be. How can it not?
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't have that same level of motivation.
Not when you know that
for
well,
years.
Right?
Like, how do you do it for years? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to do across an entire team. So we'll see. But I still don't know, like, do they have the right personnel from a depth standpoint? And are their key personnel playing well enough to be able to do it? Because they're going to need everybody going. Come playoff time if they want to beat the Leafs.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we'll get to more texts. You can call us if you want. I think the phone lines are empty right now, but 613-750-1200. And we'll still hear from Sogard and Shabbat. Oh, DeBrincat as well. The Sens with a 7-2 win over the Lightning. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show. The TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
The Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show. Ottawa with a big 7-2 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll get to the phone lines in a moment, but let's hear from our first star this evening, Alex DeBrincat, in conversation with the media.
Just nice to get a definitive win for this group.
Yeah, for sure. I thought we played pretty good from start to finish.
had a lot of chances and, you know, played pretty well in our own zone too. So I think that's a good win for us and carried over to the next game.
It seems like there was a little bit of relief on your face when you scored that goal. How did that feel to get one past Elliot there?
Yeah, it's been tough to get him by the goalies lately. So, you know, that one felt good. And, you know, obviously just carried on the game. I felt good for most of the game and, you know, felt like our line did pretty well with, you know, back-checking hard and stealing pucks and getting odd man rushes. So, you know, I think a lot of credit goes to my line mates. They played really well today and, you know, we're moving the puck well.
What was your thought process on that second goal when you got past Zach Bogosian?
Yeah, I thought I had him beat originally and he did a good job coming back to the inside. And when I stopped up, I was just looking for, you know, some other guys and no one was really there. So I just decided to pull and try to get it by him. So, you know, like I've been saying, sometimes those go in and sometimes maybe it hits a stick or whatever it may be. But, you know, I was lucky enough to get it in tonight.
17-1 record when you score.
No, I guess I got to score more. So, yeah, I mean, I guess obviously this year hasn't been, you know, as good for me contributing offensive-wise. But, you know, still trying to do what I can to help the team win. And, you know, but I think we're doing a good job of battling each night versus the top teams and, you know, trying to pull out some wins.
This game had its chippy moments too. Like, what happened there with you and Maroon? What kind of sparked that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hockey. I think, you know, the whistle blew and he gave another shot to Sogi. So I didn't really like that. I don't think it's necessary. So, but, I mean, just trying to get in there, make sure, you know, we're not just giving free liberties at our goalie and, you know, make sure that doesn't happen again.
There's Alex DeBrincat in conversation with the media. Nice night for the Cat. And you like that when he was told that they're 17-1-1 when he scores. And his answer was, I guess I got to score more.
Exactly. Keep it going, Cat. Get hot down the stretch here. Be nice.
No kidding. What a difference it makes when this second line is going.
Yeah,
because so much of the year, power play and that first line has been incredible all year. And like, obviously they've had moments where the second line's chipped in and the bottom six has chipped in and the blue line. But I feel like a lot of nights when you're watching the 5-on-5 play, you want a little bit more from the second line. I'm not trying to be too critical. One of the reasons for that is Josh Norris hasn't played all
year.
But when they are going and when Batherson is going, which DeBrincat also credited his line mates there for his success tonight. Man, it makes them such a much better team.
Well, they had all the – I thought they carried the energy in the first period, that line.
Yeah.
They were the Sens' best line. DeBrincat looked really sharp. Pinto was in the right place at the right time, like really supporting the players and the puck all over the ice. And Batherson, you could just see him. He had that extra edge out on his game tonight. And he's had it now for a little while, and it just looks different when he's going full throttle skating-wise. And he has that – compete physical aspect to his game, and then you've got the hybrid where he can be a good passer but he's also got a good shot, so he can be a complete player. I've already said, like, he needs to tighten the screws up from a defensive standpoint. That's just an area he has to clean up a little bit, but man, he's got so much going for him when he's skating like that. Like, you notice him a lot more out there. He's really disruptive on the forecheck, so he was a big reason why that second line was really cruising tonight.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Carl is on hold. Carl wants to ask a question about Jake Sanderson. What's on your mind, Carl?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, there's a lot of talk in there about Jake maybe winning the Rookie of the Year, and I'm kind of wondering, is that a good idea? Does that mean, like, a couple more $1 million when you go to re-sign him or get him to the long-term contract or anything like that? I felt the same way earlier on about Pinto as well, is when he was kind of getting some accolades for being, you know, a good rookie. Is that going to cost us a lot more money in the long run?
Thanks for the call, Carl.
Well, first of all, I don't think he's getting enough.
Yeah, I think that's what Carl meant. The conversation we've been having is that he's not in the conversation enough.
Okay.
And he's there. Like, if you were to just Google Jay or Calder favorites, anything that's that wasn't written in September or whatever, he's always mentioned as like the fourth or fifth guy.
Right.
I think he should be in every conversation. And with all due respect to the years that have guys like Matty Beniers and Owen Powers have had, I'm taking Jake Sanderson. And just what he's doing as a 20-year-old, and I know Owen Powers doing something similar, but in Buffalo, Rasmus Dahlin is one of the best defenders in the league, and Power is playing a lot of minutes. I think he's about up around 23 minutes a night, but he's that number two guy. Jake right. Sanderson has turned into this number one defenseman on this team, and he's not, in my opinion, getting enough national love.
He will. Over in the years to come, he will, because he's so good. And if he went to win the – if he won the Calder, that's not going to change – how much money he's making. He's going to get it. He's going to get what he gets. Like, the organization already knows how good he is. They would love for him to win the Calder. They don't want to not, because it's like, oh, that's going to cost us more. It's like, they're going to have to pay him at some point anyway.
Would you go 8 years right now?
I mean, if you could, why not?
Yeah. Like, I think it's just arrow up for a long time. And, I mean, and you got to think he's going to get way more. He was just put on this first power play unit.
The Stützle signing, great signing for both, for everybody. You know, Stützle set up for life, and Pierre Dorion got him in before maybe the price went up. Great signing with Batherson, great signing with Tkachuk. You know what I mean? You can say you have all these guys that you can say have, like, they have good deals. Like, they're making a lot of money, but they're also worth that kind of money, and they're locked in long term, which is what you're building this core around. So
The Stützle extension is brilliant. Like, if they waited, right now, it's got to start with a 10. At the very least, 9 something. Guy's a superstar. I think it's 10 per.
Yeah.
So that's a great move there. And that's, like, I'm convinced Jake Sanderson's going to be a guy that, throughout a bulk of his career, is going to be a Norris Trophy candidate. I'd try my best to go 8 years.
I love when guys get their worth, but they don't overdo it, so you can still have money left over for depth players that are going to help you win a championship. Like, you're still set up for life. Money's never going to be a problem. You can even take care of your family and whatnot. Like, life is good. And because you didn't take that extra 5-10%, that's left over for those, you know, fifth and sixth defensemen, for the backup goalie, for guys on your third and fourth lines, you know, that you go and whether you sign them in the summer, you get them at the trade deadline, whatever. You know, you watch what Tampa, their recipe, they had their core guys locked in, and then they've shuffled the deck, and they didn't have, it took them years to find it. You know, like, they had, it's like playing cards, and they had the trump cards.
And the number of times.
But they didn't have anything support, or they didn't have the right supporting ones. And they were close, like conference finals. They lost in the Stanley Cup. Then they get knocked out in the first round, but then they made the moves. You know, it was Blake Coleman, Barkley Goodrow. That was the year that everything came together.
Danny Gord, their entire third line left. Two to free agency, one to expansion. But they've done a good job of getting those cheaper depth players. I got Corey Perry to play for like $1 million. And what, did he have 20 goals last year on the fourth line? Like, and another example, Colorado getting Evan Rodriguez. Obviously didn't find the contract he was looking for in the offseason, signs a cheaper deal to get an opportunity with a good team like that. And he's gotten a great opportunity because of injuries that the Avalanche have had.
Yeah, he scored a nice goal when he was here, too.
To your point about locking up this core, then you worry about tinkering with those pieces later.
And this core wants, like Brady Tkachuk's talked about, we're going to bring a Stanley Cup here. Like, that's, they have the eye on the prize. They know it's a process to get there, but part of that process is locking up these young guys. So go Jake Sanderson. If you can win the Calder, great. You want these players winning. Ultimately, you want to win the ultimate team award. Goes without saying, but it's nice to see other players get accolades, be a first all-star, second all-star, anything that they can get, it'd be great. It's great for the organization. It's great walking around the arena when you see pictures of guys that have had trophies.
That's right. When we broadcast right here, we pass all the time. Every trophy, major trophy winner.
You get to see the King Clancy, the Norris. Like, it's awesome.
Back to the text, 12-1200. Pugger has texted in. Good evening, Creature and Bakes, in sunny and hot South Florida, where it's 32 degrees today. So appropriate to be a couple hours south of Tampa and see the Lightning get scorched. Love Gord Miller's stat on the Corey Perry being the only player in NHL history to lose 6 Stanley Cup finals in a row. That's not right. No. Go Sens go from Punta Gorda, Florida. From Pugger. Thanks for the text, Pugger.
He's lost three in a row.
Yeah, he's lost three in a row.
He was with Dallas, Montreal, and Tampa. That's a lot of hockey to not win a Stanley Cup. He's won one, obviously, with Anaheim. But the last 3 years, this like a lot of hockey for a devastating loss at the end. That's a terrible That's a terrible handshake. 3 years in a row.
Even though he has won, we'll move on from that. We won't spend any time on the one that he did win. But to get that close so many times, especially at his age too, it's a grind mentally and physically. Yep. Come up short 3 years in a row. Crash from Iqaluit. Evening, lads. Solid win. Brännström making his case to stick around in a crowded and competitive D-core. Thought Chabot had a solid game. Good positioning. Created some offensive chances. Got to give his due after the lashing he's taken from the fan base this year. Kind of feel dirty looking at the scoreboard and feeling happy seeing a Leafs win. But alas, big picture, right? Staying up for a Stars-Penguins game. Dallas is 22-3-3 when leading after the first period. So take what you will. Playoffs are still within reach. Go Sens go from Crash in Iqaluit.
I like it. Chabot had a good game. He did. He was a factor in the defensive zone. Good positioning. Just looked comfortable out there. Made some nice plays in the offensive zone all around. Just a solid game for
We'll hear from Chabot in a moment. Let's go live from the locker room. And here's Mads Søgaard in conversation with the media.
That's obviously nice to get some run support tonight as well.
Yeah, I know. Great performance by all the guys in here. We're ready to play, and we played some really good hockey. So, fun to watch from the crease for sure.
Pretty clear you were ready to play as well from start.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that I was all good to go. When the puck dropped, I didn't want to be a step behind or anything. So, really focus in on that, and I thought I made a couple of clean saves early on, and gave me some good confidence to just keep building and, take it one shot at a time.
That confidence start in Boston, do you think?
Yeah, it was obviously good to get a game in where things are, clicking a little bit more personally. I guess you could say that I just kept building on it and, talked a lot with Berkey and how I need to play to be successful. And I think... today was a good step in the right direction, and now we just get ready for a new one.
What's the past 2 weeks been like for you? A mental just challenge to stay with it?
Yeah, it's tough for sure. You want to do well. That's no secret, and there's been some performances where I wanted to play better. That's for sure. But for me, it's just important to show up, keep showing up, keep bringing the same energy and same work ethic, and things will turn around. So I'm a big believer of that. And, like I said, I just want to keep building and, keep helping the team to get some wins for
You had mentioned it just seems a fine line you've learned at this level for a goalie between a good night and a tough one. So, did you make much adjustments these last two starts compared to...
No, not too much, honestly. Just think back to what works, right? Like, how I need to play and not change too much. You're playing against, you look at the last couple of games we've had, you've seen a McDavid, you've seen McKinnon, McCarr, big guys for sure. So try not to adjust to those guys and just keep playing the way I need to play to be successful. And like I said, I think there's a couple good steps in the right direction, but I still got a long ways to go and just want to keep improving to, be the best I can be for this organization.
And Mads, in the games you've been a part of, how do you think the guys played in front of you tonight? Like, how would you rank the game tonight?
Really good. Really good. It's they're always coming out battling and extremely hard, helping me out, mentally too. I think some guys know that, it's not easy being new in the league and struggling for sure. And like I said, you want to do well. Just the support you have and see how hard they work on the ice, practice, games, everything. It's incredible, and it rubs off and makes me want to go even harder.
There's good stuff from Mads Søgaard. Feel good for him getting the win. As we mentioned earlier, gave him the three-star. He played well, but also just because I think he – nice to pump his tires. He obviously played terrific in Boston, but team only scored one goal for him and has had some ups and downs. But in my opinion – a number of those games that started it with the crooked numbers against. Like the Chicago game, I remember watching that Chicago game, 5-0. I'm like, I don't fault him for any of these goals.
No.
The team didn't show up.
Yeah, no, no.
So nice for him to get the win. That's got to feel good.
And he said, like, he was battling his confidence just a little bit. You know, it was difficult. You know, he's new in the league. Who wants to give up a 5 spot every night? You know, I know he gave up 4 against Seattle and found a way to win that game, which was nice. But, yeah, that would get frustrating. But, you know, he's got the goalie coach. He's got the players. He's got the other coaches all supporting him. And it helped. And he's look at how he's played the last couple of games. Like, he's rebounded well. And this is the type of thing, you stay with it, that will pay dividends down the road. Like, the only way you can find out if someone can play in the NHL is when they actually get an opportunity to play in the NHL. Like, there's no league like the NHL. It sounds so stupid and simple, but that's how you find out. But you got to give them a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, and even listening to Pierre Dorion, like Ferguson, they brought him in and, like, it was a minor league deal, you know, an American Hockey League deal. He played a great game, but they don't necessarily see him as the prize for the future. So maybe they'll play him. Maybe they will, because they want to win. If they think he's going to give them the best chance to win. But at the same time, you're keeping an eye on Sogard because he is your potential prize for the future. And you want to see him get through those little struggles that he had, but also get an opportunity to play when the team plays better in front of them, which is what they've been doing. And now you get a double down effect. He's playing better and he's getting a W because of it. So he got the support from a mental fortitude standpoint internally, and it worked out. Now he's got to continue it. And if he's playing on Saturday, he might have to have a really good game. Like, wouldn't it be great if he could go steal a game? That would be something. You know, and give the Sens a couple of points, something like that. That would be great.
Let's wrap up live from the locker room. Here is Sens assistant captain Thomas Chabot in conversation with the media.
Just wondering.
Not to start tonight.
Do you want Gord to start? No. He can start.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Putting up 7 against a team like Tampa, what does that do for you guys?
It's big. It's big for us. I mean, obviously we felt like we've been playing some good hockey lately. Obviously not getting the result we wanted, but just shows that when we stick to what we do and what we the way we play, we have a lot of success. Then it did again tonight, so obviously we know they're a strong team and they have a lot of talent, but the way we play tonight is exactly where we need to play the rest of the way.
Have you ever played a game with a D partner who just had a root canal?
No, that was a first. A bit of a weird day for him, but you know what, it was fun. We talked a lot, obviously, ever since he got here, and obviously getting the chance to play together, that was something we look forward to. And I thought the game was great, and we're both good skaters. We had a good gap all night, didn't give the other team a whole lot. So, you know what, it was a fun night.
We talk a lot about left side, right side. Do you care at all which side you play, and do you see yourself potentially playing the right side here?
I mean, with Chick, when we were talking before the game, we're obviously both more comfortable on the left side, but like you saw a few times tonight, I think you kind of just fill in wherever the other guy's at, and we kind of managed that. And obviously, I haven't played a whole lot of right side, but obviously we talk about it and we get a lot of reps, and you kind of just go with the flow, I guess. Yeah.
What was the reaction on the bench when Brännström went end to end?
What a goal! Everybody was excited, and you know what? It was just a great game by everyone, and to see him skate like that, and obviously great shot, great goal, but to bring that, I mean, that's something that his game is so good, skating and holding on to the puck, and when he does that, he gives himself some looks and some chances, and obviously we're all happy for him.
You're happy for Sogard in that one? Like, he's been through the grind here for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, it's great. That's one of the biggest thing. I mean, he's obviously, we've had some tough games, and he's been back there trying to hold us together and making some big saves. And I mean, this last 2 games have been great. He's been playing great, and it's big for his confidence, and I think it's big for the entire group's confidence. We had a tough schedule playing some very talented team, and obviously to come back home here tonight and get that win was big for everyone.
That game got a little bit chippy and feisty. What's it like when you're suddenly face-to-face and kind of jawing with a guy like Nick Paul that you've known so well?
It was fun. I mean, it was a great great friend of mine, and it's we got along, and it's weird to see him in that jersey, obviously, but obviously it's always fun. I mean, playing against friends like that, it brings the energy to the entire group, and I think we've shown that tonight.
There's Thomas Chabot in conversation with the media after a 7-2 win, and liked his game again tonight. I think he's put together a number of pretty decent performances lately, and it just what a difference it is with the deeper blue line, but also him not playing 30 minutes a night and being in every situation where you have other guys that have the ability to log those minutes. And we've talked a lot about Jake Sanderson, Jake Chychrun, who I should just reset if you missed this. He did leave the game. So DJ was asked post-game about an update on Chychrun. He kind of went into the boards awkwardly, and he was also slew-footed near the end of the second period by Victor Hedman. And DJ said that he thought it might have been cramping because Chychrun had a root canal today, didn't eat very well or eat much because of that, and they're going to reevaluate tomorrow. But the head coach didn't seem to be too concerned with what's going on with Chychrun. So that, I took that as pretty good news.
Let's hope it's good news. I'm assuming it's going to be good news.
Yeah.
I think it's just...
I don't think he speaks that way, the head coach.
He left us a nugget. And yeah, Thomas Chabot's been playing better. Like, it's got to be nice for him. It's got to be different because he's been relied on so much for so long here. But you get to take a breath, and it's like he doesn't have this sense of obligation that he has to be the best defensive defenseman or try to be the best defensive defenseman, shut down guy. You're playing against the other team's top line all the time, and you're also trying to produce offensively all the time. That's what he's been tasked with for years. You know, those were the matchups he was getting, and you're looking for that offensive production. And now he can just settle into his game. And I saw he and Chychrun a couple of times, they, you know, just with their mobility, they were moving around the ice and they veered into each other's sides. Like Chychrun actually, you know, he gravitated over, he joined the rush, came up the left side. So he stayed there and Thomas Chabot went over on the right side, and he actually made a good play on the blue line, took the puck across the blue line, got a nice shot down low. It was, you know, a grade B scoring chance. Wasn't amazing scoring chance, but it was, they still filtered a puck towards the net, and he just looked comfortable. And he has here, like you said, the last few games. So that's a good sign because it's been a rocky season for him at times, but,
and we know that he can get to
another
level. The
bar of expectation is so high here. You know, that's the thing. Like, people are, the expectations are so high.
Well, plus we've seen it from Chabot.
I know. That's the bar. That's what I'm talking about. The bar is so high. And then the salary, like, and he gets compared. In Canadian markets, it's way different in the U.S. than it is in Canada. In Canada, you are compared to your salary, like, all the time. In the U.S., I don't know. It's just different down there. They're not always bringing up your salary. They're talking about your play. But they're not like, wow, he's not earning his $8 million. It's like, it doesn't come up as much.
Huh.
It's like, it's always been like that. And so he's up against those things. At the end of the day, you find a balance of where he's been this year. And he's lost his confidence a few times, but he's still had a decent season, a good season, you know, for like an average defenseman. He's not average, but like if you were just a third or fourth line defenseman, you'd be saying he's playing great hockey. But because he's Thomas Chabot, we have such high expectations for him. But he's been playing well lately, which is good. And I hope he settles in. Like, there's not as much pressure because Sanderson's here, because Chychrun's here. And
Branstrom's playing well.
Hamonic's
been playing well.
Hamonic's been
Zub's
like,
here.
And Zub, like, this is like really positive. He's never been in this type
never.
Of situation.
Not even close.
And this is great for him, I think. I think he's going to flourish with it, and as he should.
I'm going to rip through a bunch. There's a ton of text in here on a lot of different topics,
so
chime in if you want.
Just go. I'll just sit tight.
Dennis says, can you chew raw organs after a root canal? I'm not sure. Dave says, might be impossible, to make the playoffs, but I'm watching Pittsburgh-Dallas just to see if we can gain some ground. If not, as close to a playoff hockey as we've seen in 5 years. Let's consider this. Down 3-0 in a series, still got a shot. Also, the broadcast just shouted out Dylan Ferguson for his 48-save win for us the other day. Frey Ferraro, ESPN, miss that guy, comes in from Dave. Yeah, one of the best in the business. Ray Ferraro for sure, although Sens fans have been spoiled with the coverage for a while here as well. Seaver Sage, Goodrow's double meow made my night. Bran is the man too, my boy from Seaver Sage. Cork and Kanata, hey boys, rare time that an ex-Sens goalie didn't stand on his head. Thanks for the text, Cork and Kanata. What do we else? Postman says, hey boys, I've been a 6-game this year. I'm 2-4. My two wins are tickets I got through you guys. Maybe I need 3 more to get a streak going. Haha. Go Sens go from the Postman. What else we got? Uncle Chicken Ants yelling, folks, don't let your kids grow up to be Bolts fans, from the Section 320. Awesome tonight. Elliot breaking his stick at the buzzer was cherry on top. Go Sens go from Uncle Chicken Ants. Parker and Gloucester was at the game tonight, likely my last game of the year. What a great atmosphere, regardless of the likely outcome this season, comes in from Parker. So that's a good chunk of what we got. Lots of text tonight, so appreciate the ones that came in. Sorry I didn't get to all of them, but we will take a break now. And on the other side, look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Wrap things up here after a 7-2 win over the Bolts. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show, the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
The Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show continues on TSN 1200.
All right, Bakes. We'll begin in the NHL as we take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by St. Hubert Barbecue, chicken, ribs, hockey, and a bunch of finals. We'll start.
Throw me a bone. Throw me one I like.
Well, okay.
That I like.
That you like. Leafs with a 6-2 win over the Panthers.
Thank you.
I'm just going to go in order now.
Well, what order?
So I don't miss any.
Is this the
NHL? Just in order of when they finished.
Oh, okay.
Wild fall 5-4 in a shootout to the Flyers. Capitals with a 6-1 win over the Blackhawks. Rangers 2-1 winners over the Canes. The Bruins with a 4-2 win over the Canadiens. 4-3, the Blues edged the Red Wings. I'm not really worried about Detroit, but...
No.
Whatever.
Want to be ahead of them.
Of course. I'm confident that they will be.
Did you hear what I said on the pregame show?
I listened to most of it about Detroit. Like, I don't remember.
No, it wasn't that. It was Lee was like, they were saying, AJ made a point that he liked the Boston game because they played well.
And lost. They're rooting for losses, yeah.
They just, you know, and I'm like, if they're not going to make the playoffs, I want them in ninth place to create a bar. Like, that's the bar that they have to beat next year. Like, I want the only bar that they...
Yes, I did hear this discussion, yeah.
Is, like, if you're in ninth place, the only way you can improve on that next year is being in the playoffs. So that's where I want them. Like, that's... They're creating a new level that they have to be better than next year.
I'm with you. I also would like that Chychrun first-round pick to be as bad as possible.
Yes.
I do agree a little bit with what Lee's point was. Like,
I did too.
If they finish 11th or 12th this year, it's still playoffs or bust next year for me. Yeah. Like but hey, you're the former NHLer.
No. I did say it's not an argument. These are just thought processes, right? And I'm like, you don't have to be 100%. You can be. These are points. Like, I'm 70% in favor of what I just said, but 30% of me says, yeah, you know what? If they do drop down, like, then they're not giving up quite as good a draft pick or whatever. So it doesn't matter, because next year the goal is going to be to make the playoffs. I just like 70% of me says raise the bar. That's what I'd like to see.
That's fair. Preds with a 2-1 shootout win over the Kraken. So Nashville... they had 3 games in hand on the wildcard teams that they're chasing. So they're actually making a case for this despite being sellers at the deadline.
It's incredible.
1-1, Stars Penguins heading to the third period. Golden Knights also heading to the third period. They have a 2-1 lead on the Flames. I think Calgary's done. Vancouver up 3-1 on the Sharks after one.
Carlson does have an assist.
88. Arrow up.
Assist number 66, I think.
Guy's a freak. Love seeing it. And last game, Jets and Ducks 1-1 after one. So the Preds are hoping that the Jets miss the playoffs.
The Sharks, they might come in last place in the league.
Yeah, if you look at their last, 10 games, the amount of losses that they have.
Like, right now, let me open up the NHL app. Bear with me. Come on, load.
As you do that, okay, you do that, I'm going to pass along the rest of the scores here. The 67s with a 4-1 win over the Peterborough Petes. Ottawa has two games left on their schedule, both at home Friday and Saturday. And to men's college hoops, I'm not happy about the score at the halftime here. UCLA with a 46-33 lead over Gonzaga.
That's not good.
That's not good for me.
It's going to end my tournament.
Not good for you either. UConn with an 88-65 win over Arkansas. And a thriller, Kansas State edges Michigan State 98-93 in overtime. Did you find what you're looking for?
The Sharks have played one more game than Columbus, and they're 2 points ahead of them. Sharks have lost 15 games this year in overtime. And either
that's nuts.
15. That's a lot of. That's crazy. Yeah. So they're right there. They're 1 point behind Chicago. 3 points behind Anaheim. Yeah. To see who's got the best chance in the lottery.
Just do a final scoring summary. It's always fun to recap a 7-goal victory. DeBrincat from Batherson and Pinto 8:53 into the game, 1-0. The Cat again 11:37 into the first period from Brännström and Hamonic made it 2-0 Sens heading to the second. Braden Point then from Kucherov and Stamkos at 10:28 made it 2-1. Broussard on the power play from Giroux and Chychrun at 18:04 gave Ottawa the 3-1 lead heading to the third. Sergachev blasted one right under the bar from Stamkos and Kucherov at 4:10 of the third period to make it 3-2, but then just over a minute later, Erik Brännström would go, as Dr. Bob called it, Bobby Orr, end-to-end from behind his own net over the Tampa Blue, and then rip one blocker shelf on Brian Elliott for his second of the year unassisted at 5:45 of the third, 4-2 Sens. Kachuk from DeBrincat and Shabbat at 11:13 on the power play made it 5-2. Kachuk into an empty net from Stützle and Giroux at 13:35 made it 6-2. And then Watson from Brown at 14:39 converted touchdown 7-2 Sens.
Good for them. They work so hard. Good to see the fourth line contribute.
Bakes, thanks for your time.
Always fun.
Hey, are you on the morning show next week?
Yeah.
Nice.
Monday, Wednesday. Early.
I'll be listening.
I don't know how I'm going to do it.
What do you mean, like waking up?
And filling 4 hours.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Jer's awesome to work with.
Yeah, he's
good. And total pro. Got lots of information. Yeah. And has a lot of fun. Hamer's a blast to work with.
Yep.
And
I listen
and
to him like
stuff.
When I'm driving.
Yeah.
No, I don't. That's the thing. I know the sense. I don't pay that much attention to the NHL or other sports.
Yeah, but you know, what you can bring, not a lot of people can. Being the inaugural plus-minus heavyweight champ with the Senators, nobody can bring that. Nobody else in the world.
It's
you can bring your perspective.
You can only
not following. I don't follow. I don't know every team in the league. I'm watching a lot of San Jose games right now, though. I'm pretty good on my San Jose Sharks right now.
Yeah, but you know other sports better than I do. But that's also part of your job. You have to.
Watch some SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Form some opinion. Have some fun. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a fun week.
No, I'm actually looking forward to it. That's why I said I would do it. I'm like, yeah, it'll be fun.
So thank you, Jamie Baker.
Thank you.
Pre-intermissions and post. Thanks to Lever Sage,
yeah,
who Lever. You were giving it to on the pregame show.
Yeah, just testing his resolve.
We'll see if he brings it tomorrow.
He will.
Tomorrow.
He'll bring it.
Thanks to Darren Dreger, who... join Lever Sage off the top. Dean and Gord, who had tonight's call. Cam Clement, who produced back at 87 George
Bobby
Street,
Hines,
put
AKA
together the,
Big Red.
The triple meow.
Yep. Good job, Cam.
And Matt Hamer produced in-house here. Thanks to the good listener for listening, texting, tweeting, and calling. Sens pumped the Lightning 7-2. They're back in action Saturday in New Jersey. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
This has been Ottawa Senators Hockey on TSN 1200. Any copy or rebroadcast without the express written consent of Bell Media is strictly prohibited.
a live sporting event from TSN 1200.